Have you ever walked in like a, I don't know, dark, I don't know what's wrong with this thing, Brian, but it's not going. Like in a dark place, a dark alley, a dark, like a dark pathway, and you kind of, you've kind of walked with a bit of caution, because you weren't sure what you might find behind the next tree. Or as you walk down an alley or down a street in an unfamiliar city and it's kind of dark, maybe you're not real sure what might be in the next doorway, or what might be just around the next turn. Sometimes that can be a scary journey. It can be a little bit disconcerting to walk in that place of darkness and not be sure of what's really out there. Now, I'm not exactly sure that that was the situation for the Ephesian church. But I can tell you this, they were walking in a dark place. Much like we do today in our world. Now you say, well, Pastor Mike, the sun's shining, it's beautiful outside. Well, okay, yes, physically. But in a spiritual sense, we live in a very dark place. We live in a world that's beset by all kinds of problems and issues and concerns, not knowing exactly what's out there and what's coming next. And in Ephesus, that city was what we might term, that place was hopping. I mean, it was the largest, most important seaport city in the ancient world. It had three major roads that converged into that city. And so it was like the hotbed of travel and commerce in that day. And as you might imagine, things there were a bit spiritually dark. And Paul writes his letter to the Ephesian church into the midst of that darkness. He speaks into the midst of the church and the life of the church because he knew that there was uncertainty, because he knew that there was some concern about what might be next for the church, what might be out there. And he wanted to encourage them. He wanted to help them as they walked along life's path. Paul and his message were a direct threat to the Temple of Artemis. The Temple of Artemis was, it's really one of the seven wonders of the world. And it was the temple that housed the fertility goddess of the day. And so what Paul had to say and what he had to write and his whole witness was a direct threat into that worship of that goddess. The artisans of the day, they would make handcrafted little idols, like little shrines that people could carry from place to place, and then when they would get to where they're going, or they could set it in their home, they could worship that little shrine or that little idol. And so his message was a direct threat to those persons who made those handcrafted items. His message was a message of hope and light into a very dark world. We live in a world like that, where there's darkness all around us. People worship all kinds of things of no significance, much like they did in Paul's day. People today, we worship sports. We worship our jobs. We worship that pursuit of the almighty dollar. We worship our possessions or the things that possess us. We worship the striving daily to get to the top of the food chain in our chosen professions. Life can be hard. In the 21st century, as we start a new year. Life can be a bit scary as we don't know what's out there around the next curve. We don't know what's out there that might jump out from behind the next tree. Life is full of questions as you and I seek to follow Jesus in today's world. Part of our heartbeat here at Covenant Church is to grow up. To grow up, not just physically, but to grow up spiritually. To become passionate about Jesus. To become spiritually mature in our walk with Jesus. And Paul, over these next several weeks, is going to help us on that journey. As we take a look in these coming weeks at his letter to the Ephesian church. So while you're grabbing your bulletin, or if you have your Bible with you and you want to turn to Ephesians chapter 1, I just want to give a public announcement that one of the fuel classes this fall is going to be an in-depth study of this letter to the Ephesian church. So if you're interested, I'll just give you that heads up now, and you can be one of the first ones to sign up when we put that sign up out in the coming weeks. I want to read for us all 23 verses of the first chapter of Paul's letter to the Ephesian church. This is a powerful word. It's a powerful word to you and me as we live life in today's world. As we try to figure out what's next. As we try to figure out what direction to move and go. So follow along as I read these words. This letter is from Paul, chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus. I'm writing to God's holy people in Ephesus who are faithful followers of Christ Jesus. May God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm because we are united with Christ. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family, bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. That is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace that he has poured out on us, who belong to his dear Son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. He has showered us with kindness on us, along with all wisdom and understanding. God has now revealed to us his mysterious will regarding Christ, which is to fulfill his own good plan. And this is the plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God. For he chose us in advance, and he makes everything work out according to his plan. God's purpose was that we Jews, who were the first to trust in Christ, would bring praise and glory to God. And now, you Gentiles have also heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised and that he has purchased us to be his own people. He did this so we would praise him and glorify him. Ever since I first heard of your strong faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for God's people everywhere, I have not stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope He has given those he called his holy people who were rich, who are his rich and glorious inheritance. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. And the church is his body. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. What a powerful word of God. From God. To these Ephesians, but to you and me today, as we live life in our world today. Now, if you have a pencil or a pen, you might want to grab that, and I'm going to share some things that you might want to underline as we take some time to walk through this chapter and just to understand what God's saying to us. Because, again, Paul wrote this letter as a word of encouragement to the church, to the people of God. Paul, listen, I want to make sure I say this. Paul is writing to the church. He is not writing to a building. And he's not writing to an institution. He's not writing to a denomination. He's writing to the church. Who is the church? You and I are the church. Paul writes these words to us. To you and me, personal words of encouragement. So hang on to these, church. This is powerful stuff. As we continue to journey through this scary part of our lives and walk through the darkness that's out in front of us, here's the word to take us through that. So let's talk about these first 14 verses. Just reminders. As we are on this journey together. Verse 3. Here's the first reminder. We are blessed. Don't, listen, church. Don't ever forget that. We are blessed. Now, with every spiritual blessing. Now, why would that be? Because later on in the same verse, we are what? United with Christ. We are, as we sang a few moments ago, a child of God. Because we are a child of God, we are blessed with every spiritual blessing. Don't ever discount that as a child of God. Second, verse 4. We are loved in a way that is way more than we can even grasp. God loves us. Now, what does that look like? Well, let me just say it this way. When you got out of bed this morning, and you looked in the mirror, and you looked at yourself, and you had bedhead. You ever had bedhead? You know what that means? Your hair is going every which direction, you know? Or you know what? You went like that, and you about knocked yourself over because your breath was so nasty. You looked at yourself and looked real close, and you like you had sleep bugs like all over, matted on your eye. Listen, what I'm trying to say is that none of that matters. God loves us just the way we are. Just the way we are. God loves us so much, and he longs for us to be part of his family. And not just us who are gathered here. There are millions of people. There are thousands of people right here in Oldham County and in LaGrange that he longs to be part of his family. God loves people. Now, we might think, well, I don't know, man. I'm not sure anybody loves us. Well, I want to tell you something this morning. If you're here, I want you to hear this. God loves you just the way you are. Verse 5. He loves us so much that he adopted us into his family. I mean, that he chose to adopt us. He looked at us and said, yep, I'll take that one. Heck yeah. Any day of the week, I'll take that one. And now you're part of my family. And we have all the rights as a child of God. He has chosen us to be His, chosen us to be in a relationship with Him. Verse 6, 7, and 8 tell us, Paul says, look, you are recipients of God's kindness and God's amazing grace. His grace draws us to Him even when we think or feel like we don't deserve it. That's the kindness of God. That's the grace of God. That's when we need to get our mind in our minds that we don't deserve it ever, but He loves us in spite of that. That's His kindness. And that's His grace. That while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He purchased, verse 7, He purchased our freedom. Church, He purchased our freedom. Let me tell you what that means. We are free from the burden and the shackles and the weight of sin. Let me say this again, church. Maybe I need to say it four or five times. He has purchased our freedom. He has rescued us from deep darkness. Come on, church. We are free because of what He's done. Verse 8, He has showered on us wisdom and understanding. Verse 9, verse 10, He allows us, you and I, to be part of His plan for the world. Verse 11, 12, and 13, and 14 said, we are blessed to have the inheritance of forever. That's our inheritance, church. Of forever with Him. And while we're here, we are blessed to have the ever-present power of the Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us and to help us walk along the way. Wow. And then in verses 15 to the end, Paul lays out these prayers. He says, look, he's going to pray for the church. Listen, for you and for me, these are great prayers that we can pray for the church, for each other. And again, I want to say this is, he prays for the people within the body of Christ. He's not praying for a building. He's not praying for an institution. He's not praying for a denomination. He's praying for the people of God. The people who are within the family of God. Paul he wants us to get it. He wants us to come to this sudden realization of the blessings that are available to every child of God. He prays in verse 16 for every person who follows Jesus to have deep spiritual wisdom and understanding, that we might continually say yes to God and allow the Holy Spirit to move us down the path, no matter how scary it might look, no matter how dark it might seem, that we might pray for spiritual wisdom and understanding to move along life's path. He prays in verse 18 that our hearts would be flooded with light. That our hearts would be flooded with light to see, even in the midst of the confusion of our day, the rich and glorious inheritance, the unfathomable riches that await us in glory. You know, listen, the Word of God says that His Word is a lamp unto my feet, right? A lamp right here to my feet, and a light unto my path. So God's going to light the way up. It might look scary. It might look uncertain. We might be a little bit confused, but listen, what I see in the Word of God that it tells us is that He lights up the path for us as we take a step day after day after day. And Paul prays that our hearts would be flooded with that light. Amen. Paul prays in verse 19 that we would know and that we would understand the power that is available to us as a church. And I'm convinced, church, that we don't get it most of the time. We don't. We want to just do things on our own. We want to make plans. We want to make all this stuff happen because of who we think we are. Because we think we got enough gumption within us to make it happen. Listen, Paul says, look, church, you have got the power from on high inside of you. Don't sell yourself short as a follower of Jesus. Plug into the power source. Let the Holy Spirit flow through you and move you along life's path. What a powerful word for you and I today as we jump into this new study, as we're going to live life as a church. I want us to be the church and be the people of God that He longs for us to be. Would you pray with me? God, thank You so much for today, and thanks for this amazing, amazing word, this encouragement that Paul offers his people. And I thank You, God, that in just a moment, we're going to come to the table. You invite us to come. And we're going to take some bread, and we're going to take some cup, and we're going to share that together around Your table. And God, as we do that, would You help us to know how much You love us, how much You care for us, how much You desire for us to walk in the light that You've provided for us. Thank You, God, that we are children of God, that we are Your children, that You have blessed us in ways that we can't even wrap our minds around. And God, that You want to do amazing things in us. So God, we don't take for granted these next few moments. We trust You to be in them, that Your fullness might be on display, that we might sense and, in fact, know Your grace and Your mercy and Your power. Bless this time of gathering at Your table. In Jesus' name, amen.